You're listening to Eurofolk Radio, a voice for European people worldwide.
I'm not walking with the Lord like I used to. It's like temptation's got a hold of me. Then I cry at night 'cause I ought to. And the praise to him I hold, I'm on my bended knee. From the road I chose to raise my family. And the more I learned forgiveness, the less I saw of grief. And the more I watched his children in their eyes, I saw his light. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings. Thank you for the ride. Well, I want to walk with you. Take my hand, amen. Hold it tight. I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on the on, enjoy the ride. I did my time, I paid some heavy dues. And I often wonder why I did the things I do. For the Lord holds all the answers to my questions, come with me. We're gonna talk about him soon. Show me the way. Well, I wanna walk with you. Take my hand, amen. Hold it tight. I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. Well, now the final curtain will be seen. Now it's time to say goodbye to this way of life I've been. So bury me in the cold, hard ground. I'll travel through the sky. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings. Thank you for the ride. Well, I want to walk with you. Take my hand, amen. Hold it tight. I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. Get on up, hold on, I'll walk the
Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters. The show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve. This show is for the 9th of February, 2018. We're in the book of Jasher. It's Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright. Jasher's not a fellow's name. It means upright. Okay, it's Yashar. And this is my 342nd word for word. We're going to be in chapter 42 of the book of Jasher. Recounting the tale of what happened to Yosef when he was given over and sold into slavery. And I want to get into that, but I want to give my website information. You can download all my shows, Wake Up Call and Word for Word, on my website. It's https as in sugar :// www.pastor-steve.com. That's not an interactive website. You can download or you can listen. But there's no trolling. I don't have time to babysit. So let's jump right into chapter 42. Let me get a little swig of this distilled water here. Verse 1 of chapter 42. And they went and sat on the opposite side about the distance of a bow shot, and they sat there to eat bread. And whilst they were eating, they held counsel together what was to be done with him, whether to slay him or to bring him back to his father. Now they're speaking of Yosef, whom they had thrown in a pit, and he was crying and weeping. So they moved away so they didn't have to listen to it. So that's what they were doing right there. Verse 2. They were holding the council when they lifted up their eyes and saw, and behold, there was a company of Ishmaelites coming at a distance by the road of Gilead going down to Mitzrayim. That's Egypt. Okay. And Yehuda said unto them, what gain will it be to us if we slay our brother? Peradventure, in other words, perhaps, Yahweh will require him from us, in other words, vengeance. This is the counsel proposed concerning him, which you shall do to him. Behold, this company of Ishmaelites going down to Mitzrayim. Now, therefore, come, let us dispose of him to them, and let not our hand be upon him. In other words, don't incur blood guilt. And they will lead him along with them, and he will be lost among the people of the land. And we will not put him to death with our hands. And a proposal pleased his brethren, and they did according to the word of Yehuda. Now here's verse 5, and you can reference Genesis 37, verse 25. And while they were discoursing about this matter, and before the company of Ishmaelites had come up to them, 7 trading men of Midian passed by them, and as they passed, they were thirsty. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the pit in which Yosef was immured. In other words, he was stuck in that pit. And they looked and behold, every species of bird was upon him. Verse 6. And these Midianites ran to the pit to drink water, for they thought that it contained water. And on coming before the pit, they heard the voice of Yosef crying and weeping in the pit. And they looked down into the pit, and they saw, and behold, there was a youth of comely appearance and well-favored. Verse 7. And they called unto him and said, "Who are you, and who brought you here, and who placed you in the pit in the wilderness?" And they all assisted to raise up Yosef, and they drew him out and brought him up from the pit and took him and went away on their journey and passed by his brethren. Mm-hmm. Verse 8. And these said unto them, "Why," that's the brethren, "do you do this, to take our servant from us and go away? Surely we placed this youth in the pit because he rebelled against us, and you come and bring him up and lead him away. Now then, give us back our servant." Verse 9. And the Midianites answered and said unto the sons of Jacob, "Is this your servant, or does this man attend you? Peradventure you are all his servants, for he is more comely and well favored than any of you. And why do you all speak falsely unto us?" Verse 10. "Now, therefore, we will not listen to your words, nor attend to you, for we found the youth in the pit in the wilderness, and we took him. We will go on." Mm-hmm. Verse 11. Let me clear the pipes here a second. Little frog there. And all the sons of Jacob approached them and rose up to them and said unto them, "Give us back our servant. And why will you all die by the edge of the sword?" And the Midianites cried out against them, and they drew their swords and approached to fight with the sons of Jacob. Now remember, these guys, the sons of Jacob, had just wiped out entire cities. So this was not going to be a problem. Verse 12. And behold, Shimeon rose up from his seat against them and sprang upon the ground and drew his sword and approached the Midianites, and he gave a terrible shout before them. He was a screamer. So that his shouting was heard at a distance, and the earth shook at Shimeon's shouting. Verse 13. And the Midianites were terrified on account of Shimeon and the noise of his shouting. And they fell upon their faces and were excessively alarmed. In other words, he scared the heck out of them. He scared them. Verse 14. And Shimeon said unto them, Verily, I am Shimeon, the son of Jacob the Hebrew, who have, only with my brother, destroyed the city of Shechem and the cities of the Amorites. So shall God moreover do unto me. And it says God in here, so it would be Elohim do unto me. That if all your brethren, the people of Midian, and also the kings of Canaan, were to come with you, they could not fight against me. He was bragging pretty good, but he was pretty tough, and he could back it up. So, verse 15, Now therefore give us back the youth whom you have taken, lest I give your flesh to the birds of the skies and the beasts of the land, of the earth, brother. Eretz. Okay, it's land. Verse 16. And the Midianites were more afraid of Shimeon, and they approached the sons of Jacob with terror and fright and with pathetic words, saying, verse 17, Surely you have said that the young man is your servant, and that he rebelled against you, and therefore you placed him in the pit. What then will you do with a servant who rebels against his master? Now, sell him unto us, and we will give you all that you require for him. Mm-hmm. And Yahweh was pleased to do this. In other words, this was engineered by Yahweh. It's going to work out. In order that the sons of Jacob should not slay their brother. Verse 18. And the Midianites saw that Joseph was of a comely appearance and well favored. They desired him in their hearts and were urgent to purchase him from his brethren. Verse 19. And the sons of Jacob hearkened to the Midianites, and they sold their brother Joseph to them for 20 pieces of silver. And Reuben, their brother, was not with them, and the Midianites took Joseph and continued their journey to Gilead. Verse 20. They were going along the road, and the Midianites repented of what they had done, and having purchased the young man. And one said to the other, What is this thing that we have done in taking this youth from the Hebrews, who is of comely appearance and well favored? Verse 21, Perhaps this is stolen from the land of the Hebrews. And why have we done this thing? And if he should be sought for and found in our hands, we shall die through him. In other words, somebody's going to kill us because we have this guy. Mm-hmm. Verse 22. Now surely hardy and powerful men have sold him to us, the strength of one whom you saw this day. Speaking of Shimeon, that's who they're talking about. Perhaps they stole him from his land with their might and with their powerful arm, and have therefore sold him to us for the small value which we gave unto them. Okay, now it takes another turn here. Verse 23. Get another little hit of water. And while they were thus discoursing together, they looked, and Behold, the company of Ishmaelites, which was coming at first, which the sons of Jacob saw was advancing toward the Midianites. And the Midianites said to each other, come, let us sell this youth to the company of Ishmaelites who are coming toward us. And we will take for him the little that we gave for him, and we will be delivered from his evil. In other words, any punishment that would come for them having him. Verse 24, and they did so, and they reached the Ishmaelites, and the Midianites sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, which they had given for him to his brethren. So they just sold him for the same amount that they gave to his brother. Verse 25, and the Midianites went on their road to Gilead, and the Ishmaelites took Joseph, and they let him ride upon one of the camels, and they were leading him to Mitzrayim. All right, stop here. So we have a double deal. First of all, the brothers sold him to the Midianites when Reuben was not there. He was going to return him to the father, Jacob. The Midianites thought it over and they sold him to Ishmaelites. And then they went their way. So the Midianites pulled him out of the pit, paid for him, and then sold him to the Ishmaelites, and now he's on the way down to Egypt. So it was a switcheroo. Verse 26. And Yosef heard that the Ishmaelites were proceeding to Mitzrayim, and Yosef lamented and wept at this thing, that he was to be so far removed from the land of Canaan from his father. And he wept bitterly while he was riding upon the camel. And one of their men observed him and made him go down from the camel and walk on foot. And notwithstanding this, Yosef continued to cry and weep. And he said, O my father, O my father. Verse 27. And one of the Ishmaelites rose up and smote Yosef on the cheek, and he still continued to weep, and Yosef was fatigued in the road and was unable to proceed on account of the bitterness of his soul. And they all smote him and afflicted him in the road, and they terrified him in order that he might cease from weeping. Mm-hmm. Verse 28. And Yahweh saw the affliction of Yosef and his trouble. And Yahweh brought down upon those men darkness and confusion. And the hand of everyone that smote him became withered. Ooh. Verse 29, and they said to each other, what is this thing that Elohim has done to us in the road? And they knew not that this befell them on account of Yosef. And the men proceeded on the road, and they passed along the road of Ephrath, where Rachel was buried. That's his mother. Ephrath is another name for Bethlehem. It's Bethlehem Ephratah. So Ephrath is a short version for Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. Verse 30. And Yosef reached his mother's grave, and Yosef hastened and ran to his mother's grave and fell upon the grave and wept. Verse 31. And Yosef cried aloud upon his mother's grave, and he said, O my mother, O thou who didst give me birth, awake now and rise and see your son, how he has been sold for a slave, and no one to pity him. Verse 32. O rise and see your son. Weep with me on account of my troubles, and see the heart of my brethren. Verse 33. Arouse, my mother, arouse, awake from your sleep for me, and direct your battles against my brethren. Oh, how they have stripped me of my coat and have sold me already twice for a slave and separated me from my father, and there is no one to pity me. Verse 34. Arouse and lay your cause against them before Elohim, and see whom Elohim will justify in the judgment and whom he will condemn. Verse 35. Rise, O my mother, rise, awake from your sleep, and see my father, how his soul is with me this day, and comfort him and ease his heart. Verse 36. And Yosef continued to speak these words, and Yosef cried aloud and wept bitterly upon his mother's grave, and he ceased speaking. And from bitterness of heart he became still as a stone upon the grave. Verse 37. And Yosef heard a voice speaking to him from beneath the ground, which answered him with bitterness of heart, and with a voice of weeping and praying in these words. Verse 38. My son Yosef, I have heard the voice of your weeping and the voice of your lamentation. I have seen your tears. I know your troubles, my son, and it grieves me for your sake, and abundant grief is added to my grief. Verse 39. Now, my son, Yosef, my son, hope to Yahweh and wait for him and do not fear, for Yahweh is with thee. He will deliver thee from all trouble. This is a prophecy. verse 40. Rise, my son, go down unto Mitzrayim with your masters, and do not fear, for Yahweh is with thee, my son. And she continued to speak like unto these words unto Yosef, and she was still. Verse 41. And Yosef heard this, and he wondered greatly at this. And he continued to weep, and after this one of the Ishmaelites observed him, crying and weeping upon the grave. And his anger was kindled against him, and he drove him from there, and he smote him and cursed him. Verse 42. And Yosef said unto the men, may I find grace in your sight to take me back to my father's house, and he will give you abundance of riches. Verse 43. And they answered him, saying, are you not a slave? And where is your father? And if you had a father, you would not already twice have been sold for a slave for so little value. And their anger was still roused against him, and they continued to smite him and to chastise him. And Yosef wept bitterly. Verse 44 of chapter 42. And Yahweh saw Yosef's affliction, and Yahweh again smote these men and chastised them. And Yahweh caused darkness to envelop them upon the land, and the lightning flashed, and the thunder roared, and the earth shook at the voice of the thunder and of the mighty wind. And the men were terrified and knew not where they should go. In other words, he brought a giant storm on them. Verse 45. And the beasts and camels stood still, and they led them, but they would not go. They smote them, and they crouched upon the ground. And the men said to each other, what is this that Elohim has done to us? What are our transgressions and what are our sins that this thing has thus befallen us? In other words, all the animals just laid down on them. They weren't going to move. Yahweh's hand was on him. Verse 46. And one answered and said unto them, perhaps on account of the sin of afflicting this slave, has this thing happened this day to us? Now, implore him strongly to forgive us, and then we shall know on whose account this evil befalls us. And if Elohim shall have compassion over us, then we shall know that all this comes to us on account of the sin of afflicting this slave. Verse 47. And the men did so. And they supplicated Yosef and pressed him to forgive them. And they said, we have sinned to Yahweh and to you. Now, vouchsafe to request of your Elohim that he shall put away this death from among us, for we have sinned to him. Verse 48. And Yosef did according to their words, and Yahweh hearkened to Yosef, and Yahweh put away the plague which he had inflicted upon those men on account of Yosef. In other words, the plague of darkness and lightning and the beast laying down and all of that. Not a sickness, you know, withered hands. And the beast rose up from the ground, and they conducted them, and they went on, and the raging storm abated, and the land became tranquilized, and the men proceeded on their journey to go down to Mitzrayim, and the men knew that this evil had befallen them on account of Yosef. Because Yahweh wanted Yosef to go to Mitzrayim. He had a purpose and a work for him to do down there. So he works in mysterious ways, and he was heading him down. And all the affliction that came on Yosef was planned by Yahweh. He had a plan to take him to the very bottom and then raise him up very, very high. Moving on. Verse 49, and they said to each other, behold, we know that it was on account of his affliction that this evil befell us. Now, why shall we bring this death upon our souls? Let us hold counsel what to do to this slave. Verse 50. And one answered and said, surely he told us to bring him back to his father. Now, come. Let us take him back, and we will go to the place that he will tell us, and take from his family the price that we gave for him, and we will then go away. Verse 51. And one answered and said, behold, this counsel is very good, but we cannot do so, for the way is very far from us, and we cannot go out of our road. Verse 52. And one answered and said unto them, this is the counsel to be adopted. We will not swerve from it. Behold, we are this day going to Mitzrayim. And when we shall have come to Mitzrayim, we will sell him there at a high price, and we will be delivered from his evil. Verse 53, and this thing pleased the men, and they did so, and they continued their journey to Mitzrayim with Yosef. Okay, we're going to stop right here. We will get into verse 43 on Monday, the 12th, but I'm going to make some comments here. Yosef is being set up by Yahweh for his future. All these terrible beatings and all this other stuff are in the plan. It's in his life to know this affliction he's going to go through. All of this, he's going to get more when he gets to Egypt, to Mitzrayim. He will go through more trials, but his story there is absolutely amazing what will happen to him. And we will get into that on Monday. But his brothers in this chapter were prevented from killing him, because that would be unforgivable. Yahweh had plans for Yosef. Big plans. He was going to save all of Israel, you know, the whole family, during the time of famine that was going to be coming in the future. And his family would come down to Mitzrayim, and he would fool them and do all the stuff that he did. And they're just not going to be ready for that. He's going to be taken down as a prisoner. He's going to be falsely accused, just like they falsely accused today. You did this, you did this. Well, no, he didn't, but he'll be put in a prison and he'll have visions. And it will work out that he will be brought before the leader of the land and put in an extremely high position. And in that position, he will work Yahweh's will to save his entire family. Whole family. So Yahweh's hand was in this. Absolutely his workings. None of this stuff that's occurring to Yosef is random. It's not an accident. Not at all. Not accidental. Today, in the world we're living in, all kinds of evil is happening. But Scripture tells us, now that we have Scripture, they didn't have it back then, exactly what's going to befall the evil ones that are afflicting real Israel. It tells what happens to the Edomites. Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. The Edomites are sort of in control today. Yep, they're doing their thing. Okay, that's acceptable. Let them do their thing. But what's coming to them? Destruction is coming to them. If you read the book of, I'll put it in English, Obadiah. It's Obadiah in Hebrew. But the book of Obadiah, it's a very short little book. Read it. It tells you what's going to happen to Edom. And then you can get into 2 Thessalonians. And it'll tell what's going to happen when Yeshua Messiah returns. And it's not going to be a bake sale for the Jews. It's not going to be. It's going to be a time of horror. They will be destroyed. All these evil people that afflict Israel, as Yosef was afflicted here. He is allowing us to be afflicted now. And it's getting so bad that when he delivers Israel, and we're going to have to do some of the work of this. We're his battle axe and weapons of war. Don't make a mistake that we're going to get out of this without having to fight, because that is the nature of Israel. We are warriors. We are warrior people. And the ones that are cowardly and won't do battle, they're going to be cast aside. That's going to be their fate. It's not going to be pretty. They're not going to make it into the kingdom. I'm sorry. They're just... Either you stand for Yahweh or you don't. I mean, what's the deal? What part of that don't you understand? If you are lukewarm and you're just going to sit around and whine and cry and not do any of the work, what use does he have for you? I mean, if you won't stand for him, you seal your fate. And it's going to be tough. I'm telling you, it's going to be tough. We're going to see some really hard times. Oh, it's coming. It's coming like a freight train. Pretty much it's here now. This is the beginning of the troubles. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to go into full tribulation. And it says we have to endure until the end. We need to endure. We're not going to be raptured out. That's false. We're going to have to occupy until he returns. Okay, that's Yeshua Messiah. Occupy until I return. Be faithful, even unto death. But if you die in the service and you are faithful, that first death is not permanent. You'll sleep for a while, and then you will be resurrected. And if you are one of the faithful and you trust in Yahweh, and you have perished in his service, you will not face that second death, but will be resurrected unto eternal life. That's the point. And Yosef here is an example for us, for Israel, of the affliction and later on when he is raised up and is the most powerful man other than Pharaoh in the country of Egypt, he will be in a position to save the Israelites, all his brothers and his father, the whole family. Well, our Savior's coming back, and he's going to save Israel. That's Yeshua. And if we're going to be in his army, and there will be an army, and there will be fighting, you have to be faithful. You have to hang on. You have to wait. There will probably be action before he actually physically returns. We're not to lay down before the devil. That's not what we're supposed to do. And I read in my wake-up call about the cowardly. They will be cast out. You've got to be courageous in Yahweh. I mean, there's just no other way around it. It's just not going to work out any other way. It may be unpleasant. You're not going to like it. I mean, who likes war? Who likes violence? Nobody in their right mind, but it's just something, if it's forced on you, and it is being forced on us, brothers and sisters. We're not the initiators of this. They try to say we are, but we're not. This is a defensive action for Israel. Israel has the right to defend. We have the right to defend ourselves. Sell your cloak, buy a sword. Okay? It's all about courage and faith. And it's going to be a test. Like Gideon's army. He had a whole bunch of people, and then Yahweh separated some, and then there was another thing, and Yahweh separated more, and then he wound up with only 300. Well, that's the remnant. That's an example. A forerunner. There's going to be a remnant. The mass of our people are not going to make it because they don't have the faith. And it's saddening, okay? It's very sad. We feel for them because we're an emotional people and we care about our own, but there are criteria that Yahweh establishes. We cannot be the judge. He's going to have to judge. We cannot just let things go. As I said, he's going to be the judge. And there are people of our own that are going to be harshly judged and cast out. That's why I do these shows, because I really want to gather in as much of the remnant as I can, and that's my calling. That's why I preach. Because of my love for my people and for Yahweh, I don't want to see all these people destroyed, but I don't have the control over that. All I can do as a man and a preacher is exhort to righteousness, which is what I do. Now, if people follow what I have to say and they read the scriptures and they come over and get off that fence, they're going to make it. And if one listens to what I have to say, just one, and comes home to Yahweh and repents of his ways and starts living life as Yahweh would have us live it, that is a major victory for me. Just one. I'm a worker in the harvest. And you need to be a worker in the harvest too, Israelite. Man or woman, you need to witness, you need to speak on about Yahweh, even if it's inconvenient, even if it would be detrimental to you. This world's going to pass away. Witness, witness, witness. We are to witness. All of us. Not just the preachers, but each individual. And I'm asking you to do that. Be bold in Yahweh and live your life to show your faith. That's all we can do. But coming down the end of the show here, I get pretty emotional because of my passion for my people and my God. Yahweh is everything. He is so awesome. Call upon his name and come back to him. That's what needs to be done. Until the next time, may Yahweh bless and keep you, and praise his holy name, and praise Yeshua Messiah. Thank you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
You're listening to Eurofolk Radio, a voice for European people worldwide.